Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates.
We have a great conversation ahead of us today. As we talk about Bethesda Lutheran Communities, we're going to talk with a number of folks about what's going on with Bethesda Lutheran Communities, how they care for families and individuals who have needs, special needs, and we'll talk with them in just a little bit. We'll talk with Bethesda's president and also those who are being recognized by Bethesda as advocates and those who serve and care for individuals and their families who have these needs. So hope you can stick around for the conversation. It's bound to be a great conversation ahead of us today. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org and look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone today, Mike Thurtle. He's president and CEO of Bethesda Lutheran Communities. Mike, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Oh, thanks, Andy. Good morning. Great to be with you again.
So glad to have some time with you today talking about Bethesda Lutheran Communities and the work that you're doing there as now as a fairly new president and CEO. How is it going in your first year there?
Wow, it's flown by. It really has. It's been a great year, an exciting year. I feel so blessed to be part of this team and to work with the great people at Bethesda.
Outstanding. Well, glad to hear that. For our listeners who perhaps aren't familiar with Bethesda, share with us a little bit about the history and what Bethesda is all about today.
Absolutely. We got a lot of great things going on, Andy. We've been an organization that's been around for over a century. Many organizations can't claim that. We've been around for 111 years. We started out in Watertown, Wisconsin, where I'm talking with you from today. And we have expanded out to 14 states across the U.S. and also have international outreach in the Dominican Republic. We literally serve thousands of people on a daily basis with our mission. We provide residential supports, employment support, and also transportation services to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
And thanks be to God for that. All done in the name of Jesus, all that, all done in His love and His mercy. Let's talk about what's going on today. A number of things that Bethesda has been doing, and other groups that you've been working with. Most recently, what are some of the things going on with Bethesda?
One of our key relationships, and just began literally a couple months ago through connection from one of our board members, is we're working with Laborers for Christ. Organization that's affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You're probably familiar with them.
Mm-hmm.
And Laborers for Christ is, they're essentially a group of experts in construction and renovation, and they're going to be joining forces with us to help us make repairs and upgrades and help us improve our infrastructure in terms of our residential supports and other facilities so that we can provide top-quality residential support to people with developmental disabilities across our entire portfolio. This partnership is really focused on quality, providing the highest quality service that we can, not only to people we support, but to our staff, to ensure that our direct support professionals in those group homes have the highest quality environment to work in as well. So we're very excited with this partnership with Laborers for Christ, which is part of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be recruiting volunteers across the nation to help us with construction and renovation projects. In fact, those projects are going to launch in Texas next month in October, and we're hoping to expand that across our entire portfolio of the 14 states.
How important are group homes to the work of Bethesda?
They are literally our core mission. We spread the good news of Jesus Christ on a daily basis in this organization, and we provide that venue through our group homes. We literally have hundreds of group homes across the country. For your listening audience that isn't familiar with group homes, they're literally homes in neighborhoods. You could be driving in a subdivision neighborhood in Illinois or St. Louis in Missouri or California or Texas, and you wouldn't even know that Bethesda owns that home. And typically within a home like that, we may have four or five, six individuals with intellectual developmental disabilities who claim that as their home, as their place to live. They're literally integrated into the local community.
Hmm. And so the partnership with Laborers for Christ, is a partnership that will help you improve these group homes, provide the needed updates and repairs to these group homes or additions, whatever the work may be, so that these group homes can continue to serve as a place, a haven, a refuge, and a place of learning and growing daily life for these individuals.
That's right. And you know the laborers' mission, and they literally touch congregations across the country. Just the fact that we can partner two Lutheran organizations like we are here, it's really making something much bigger than either one of us could provide individually. Through their expertise and their construction management, and literally just the outreach that they provide, not just to the people we support in my team, but to those local communities. When the laborers roll into town and they set up their RVs and they're literally living out of those temporary living arrangements to help an organization like us, it is just a true blessing for us and for everybody affiliated with us.
Another unique thing about Laborers for Christ, rather than hiring or contracting with another group, is that with Laborers for Christ, they spend time there in the community with the local congregation and getting to know those they're serving, those who they're helping with their construction, their labor.
That's correct. And I'm not an expert on laborers, but my congregation has had volunteers in the past participate in that. And the way that Laborers recruits people is you can literally go out to the LCEF website at lcef.org and search for Laborers for Christ, and they have the opportunity for people across congregations to volunteer their time and participate in their great mission. As I said a second ago, what we see as a value proposition to us is not only just the construction and the maintenance component of the expertise they provide, but these are brothers and sisters in Christ with us to be able to help support this mission, and we're just grateful for that.
Well, what a great learning experience, I'm sure, for those who will be serving as laborers. And I know that there is information on the LCEF website to find out more about being a laborer for Christ. Any encouragement to those from you, Mike, who might be considering serving as a laborer for Christ and maybe get assigned to one of these projects?
Well, again, I think reaching out to their website, or they could even reach out to us and we could connect them with the right people. Our website is BethesdaLutheranCommunities.org. We actually just updated our website. It looks beautiful. We've got great messages out there, videos. We tell our story, and part of that story is a partnership with laborers and what we're about ready to do here. So we're excited that this is going to be happening, and through the support of laborers and their staff and their team, we're going to do some great things together here in the next year or two. And so we're very excited about that.
Very good. Very good. Well, a great opportunity there as well. How about other things going on with Bethesda these days in terms of celebrating those who serve with Bethesda, those who support Bethesda, who share in like mission?
Absolutely. We just celebrated last week, a week that's referred to across the nation, actually, as DSP Week, otherwise known as Direct Support Professionals Week. Our DSPs, our Direct Support Professionals, are the lifeblood of our mission. They are literally our front line. They work with the people that we support with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They are the men and women on a daily basis who help make the best life possible for the people we support. And we define that as including everything from setting and achieving goals, like getting a job, or getting involved in a community group, or providing transportation, or attending recreational events, or cooking meals. A lot of our DSPs have said specifically that they feel the position that they have is truly a calling for them, a mission, if you will. And that shows through the incredible heart and dedication and passion that they show for the people they support, as well as their local communities. And with that in mind, we are an organization that is continually looking for great people to join our team, Andy. And we have DSPs across the country, and providing that opportunity for them to connect with their hearts of faith and their hands of service with the people that we support.
What is it that that you look for in a a direct support professional. What is it that, what makes a direct support professional who they are?
I think it starts with the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. It starts with the heart and a faith component about their commitment to serve. This is a difficult job. I mean, every one of us has a walk in life, and we have our trials and tribulations, and God carries us through those on a daily basis. The folks who support on the front lines of our organization are people who literally have a faith about support and supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. They're people who literally believe they can make a difference on a daily basis. I know the folks in your listening audience who are listening to this interview today are people of faith, people who serve their churches and congregations and families. Our DSPs are those same people. They're just like you and I. They're people who have dreams, aspirations, who want to participate in their society and make it a better world. These are people who literally are God's gift to our organization, and without them, we couldn't get our job done on a daily basis.
Well, thanks be to God for those DSPs who do that work on a daily basis, who God has granted those good gifts to do that work, and that they get connected with you. How can someone find out more about becoming a direct support professional with Bethesda?
Well, if anyone listening today feels that their heart is calling them to this greater purpose and wanting to learn more about not only Bethesda becoming a direct support professional, again, you could visit us at our website. We have employment opportunities listed across the entire organization and specifically calls out DSP positions in the various states that we work. And again, as a reminder, our website is BethesdaLutheranCommunities.org. And if you go out to our website, you'll see specific opportunities there for people to apply to.
And what about recognizing those who share in like mission, who are advocates for Bethesda, who care for individuals, who care about individuals with special needs, developmental disabilities, and things like that?
There are so many opportunities in this organization to connect with people. And mm-hmm. whether you're interested in volunteering and helping improve the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in their homes, or in your congregations wanting to start a disability ministry,
mm-hmm.
or even an outreach group in your community, there are a lot of opportunities to assist. Again, on our website, we have those types of volunteer opportunities listed. One of the things that we haven't talked about in previous interviews and I wanted to highlight today is the critical, important role that the auxiliary plays for us, the Bethesda Auxiliary. This is a group of volunteers who across the nation, in each state that we operate in, participate literally on a daily basis. They participate at LWML conventions. They participate in our group homes. These are volunteers from various Lutheran congregations who are literally that touchstone from a congregation to Bethesda to help us in that mission set. One of the other areas where your audience and our volunteers and people who are committed to this organization can assist is with respect to funding. As you probably know, Bethesda receives funding from both state and federal sources, and it only covers a portion of the cost of the services that we provide. And I say that and I emphasize that because the mission that we serve is literally it's a mercy mission. And it's a mission that Jesus has given to us to carry out and to be able to conduct the best of our stewardship and effectiveness abilities. But the funding that we provide, that we get provided to from the government, just does not cover the quality of service that we want to provide. So we literally have to fundraise on an annual basis to cover that deficit. And that's where we're at with our mission, is being able to serve people who other organizations would not serve because of either the high medical needs,
mm-hmm.
or the high behavioral needs. And if we didn't do what we do on a daily basis with the people that we support, it's not clear who would serve them. And so I call that out as probably one of the emphasis areas that we're focused on, is how can we not only encourage people to provide time and talent, but also financial resources for those in need so that we can make sure that they have a high quality of life.
I'm glad you brought that up. Where would those individuals be who presently receive support from Bethesda, who have services from Bethesda? Where would they be without that support? You mentioned that many of them are not able to receive support or services from other groups because of their specific needs. Mm-hmm. What would it look like without the support that Bethesda offers?
That's a really good question, Andy. And we could paint a picture here that would look pretty bleak.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be an optimist with how we do things. One of the things I would suggest is that, and we actually, as an executive team here at Bethesda, as a nonprofit, have been going through some planning exercises recently about who do we serve? Who are those people that we outreach to? Who are those people with intellectual and developmental disabilities that we serve on a daily basis? And we've gone through this planning process. It's pretty clear from a business perspective that we are serving people who other organizations, for-profit organizations, would not serve just because of the cost demands and the expense demands. If we didn't do what we do on a daily basis, there's a high probability that the folks that we serve today would not be served at all, which means that they would either be living with family and putting different kinds of demands on them or other kinds of demands on society in a different kind of way than any of us would probably like to see. And so the fact that we reach people and serve them in a medical way, in a residential way, in a transportation employment kind of way,
mm-hmm.
and we're spreading that good news on a daily basis to people and reaching their hearts, that is literally the core of our mission. Literally the core of our mission that other organizations can't claim.
And so for many of these individuals, as you pointed out, transportation and employment are two important services that make a difference in their daily lives. Without that, as you said, they might be living with family, might not. I just can't imagine what that would be like to have a job, to have that transport, that support, those things that some of us take for granted so frequently, to have that so that, or the employment skills that we need to, in order to have a job, in order to contribute to those around us, to serve those around us.
Exactly. And what this picture would look like, to go back to your previous question and to roll in response to this one as well, is think about what other countries and how they react to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we literally, across the globe, have seen situations where, for example, in the Dominican Republic, where we outreach and provide services to LCMS organizations there, we have witnessed situations where people with intellectual and developmental disabilities are literally locked in cages, are literally strapped to beds, are literally in situations where, as an American, you would look at this situation and say, this is incredibly inhumane. But it doesn't take too long in our country's history to go back about 100 years or so to these relatively large institutions where people with disabilities were literally locked in. And organizations like ours today provide a freedom of choice and a quality of life for people of all abilities so they don't have to live under those kinds of conditions. And so we talk about other things like transportation. There is a great deal of need in this country today and in the markets where we provide services to be able to transport people, especially people that we serve. Because typically the people that we serve aren't able to drive their own vehicles. They don't live near a mass transit system. So our abilities, Bethesda, we literally own hundreds of vehicles to be able to transport people to doctor's appointments, to church on Sunday, to confirmation class, to get them into the congregational settings to make sure that their spiritual needs are served. When it comes to employment services, you can look at the statistics recently in the Wall Street Journal with respect to unemployment statistics, and specifically people with disabilities have much higher unemployment rates than the average American, just because it's very difficult for people to find work and be paid at a meaningful wage in that sense. So we're trying to define that landscape, not only here within Bethesda, but influencing the public policy space with respect to employment for people with disabilities and what that looks like.
To do what Bethesda does takes a whole team of people and a lot of partnerships. And there are some individuals that are being recognized for their service, their partnership with Bethesda, and the things, the ways that they serve others with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. The 2015 Christian Service Award. Tell us about this service award.
The Bethesda Christian Service Award, Andy, recognizes those who serve the Lord through their dedication to the Christian nurture of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. It's right at the core, at the center of what Bethesda does. This year's recipients, who you're going to interview a little bit later on the show, are Arvid and Judy Schwartz, and they truly embody that dedication in our core mission through their service to Bethesda, our board of directors for the past 11 years, and also Arvid was our chair here on the board of Bethesda for the last 4 years. Through their lives, and I've gotten to know Arvid and Judy over the last couple of years since I've been here, I have learned about their dedication, literally dedicating their lives to supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities through ministry outreach, and also their commitment to our Christian mission. Arvid is also chairman of the board of the Lutheran Home in Minnesota, and that includes Jesus Care Ministries, an outreach organization for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities as well. Judy and Arvid are also involved with this ministry through their congregation in Glencoe, Minnesota. And it's literally Arvid's connection to Bethesda as a young man years ago when he visited our campus right here in Watertown, where I'm at today, after surviving a bout with polio as a child. Since that time, Arvid has been wholly dedicated to using his passion and his faith. He's truly a man of faith, to share God's word with people with developmental disabilities in ways that expand and enhance our mission. And literally throughout Arvid's time serving our board and Judy's time serving Bethesda, it's that faith and passion together that's been central in making this an effective organization. And we really wanted to amplify the great work that they've done and their commitment to our organization and provide this service award because of that.
The service award, has this been a tradition with Bethesda for a while, or is this fairly new?
It's been around for a while, mm-hmm. And every year we choose a individual or a couple, in this case, like Arvid and Judy, or even a group that embodies the core mission that we execute on a daily basis. And it was truly a pleasure this year to be able to award this to Judy and Arvid at our board meeting this past August and sharing this with our audience here today as well.
Mm-hmm. Looking forward to meeting them here in just a little bit. Well, let's take a break, and then we'll talk with the Schwartz family here in just a little bit. You're listening to Faith and Family. Today we are talking with Mike Thurtle. He's president and CEO of Bethesda Lutheran Communities. We're going to talk with the recipients of the 2015 Bethesda Christian Service Award. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Well, Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking with our friends at Bethesda Lutheran Communities today. We're talking with Mike Thurtle, President and CEO of Lutheran Communities. And before we went to break, Mike, we were talking about the Christian Service Award, the Bethesda Christian Service Award for 2015. And I'd like to bring in now the recipients of the 2015 award, Arvid and Judy Schwartz. Mr. and Mrs. Schwartz, thanks so much for spending some time talking with us on Faith and Family. Welcome to the program.
Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Glad to have some time learning about the Schwartz family and your work with Bethesda and serving individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Let's talk a little bit about the history of the Schwartz family. Where did it all begin? Who wants to start that and share with us how Arvid and Judy met and a little bit about the family there?
I'll start with that, mm-hmm. Andy, and forgot to say good morning to you, Mike, also. Good morning to you.
Hi, Arvid.
Yeah, and as Mike had mentioned earlier in the program, my first exposure to Bethesda was as a youth, actually visiting the campus, 50 years ago now or so. And it was a much different campus in those days than it is today. But the impression it left was one of, is this something where a Christian can be involved in the work of Bethesda and mm-hmm. organizations like it, and as a layperson, and obviously there was great need for that, and that sparked the interest. We were married in 1961, and our life has been involved in that. I was spent my first 30 years in healthcare, and then again, you saw the need. And raising a family and all of those things, of course, took some time out for some of those things, but we've always kept that interest. And now that our family is raised and we have grandchildren and we have some extra time on our hands, actually going back 20 or so years, we began to be more active in this work and continue to be active as we now are growing older as senior citizens. But absolutely see it as a wonderful fulfillment of the work that a lay person can do. Any lay person can be involved in this work and be a contributor.
Over time, having been connected with individuals and serving individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities over the years, how has ministry and service to these individuals changed over that time?
Certainly, the way that we minister and physically take care of folks that mm-hmm. have intellectual and developmental disabilities has changed remarkably, even in my lifetime. Mike had mentioned earlier about going back 100 years. Certainly it's changed dramatically, but even going back 50 years or 40 years or 30 years, mm-hmm. things have changed dramatically. Probably the best example that the Bethesda could give is that when I first visited Bethesda, all of the people that we served lived on the campus in a communal setting. Today, mm-hmm. nobody lives on the campus in a communal setting. They all live in group homes in communities where they have chosen to live, just like you and I do. That would be one of the great differences. A second difference is that in many states, the government has backed away from serving these people, which is both good and bad. Mm-hmm. Today, actually, organizations like Bethesda have to step forward, as we have and as we have grown over the years, to fill that gap, especially for those that are have more difficult issues to deal with.
Judy, how has serving others been central to family life for the Schwartz family?
Our whole life revolves around work with those with disabilities and any need that we can find in our church and community. I have a great passion for this. I also do volunteer work at the Lutheran Home Nursing Home, where I am every week for those with Alzheimer's and dementia. And they are still part of God's family, and it's such a need for volunteers both there and in our homes and in our churches for those with disabilities, and it is so rewarding.
Earlier, Arvid mentioned that you've raised children. How has this life of service, the fact that you as a couple value serving others, that's a key part of who you are as a family, how do you think that shaped your children's worldview as they grew up in a family that is devoted to serving others?
That's a very interesting question you're asking, because our children have grown up to be compassionate, loving people who definitely understand those with disabilities. They have seen their father, who has achieved way beyond what, you know, we ever dreamed possible through his faith, and they embrace it. I mean, they also, our grandchildren too, they don't see their grandfather having any disability or anything. I mean, because it's part of our lives, and I think that has probably helped make us very sensitive to the needs of others. And you know, God has so blessed us with this opportunity. We've often said that had Arvid not had polio, our lives probably would be totally different. And this is why we feel so dedicated to the homes and work we do with those with disabilities.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the work that you do today with the group homes, the visits or your involvement. Let's talk about what you do with those group homes. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we have, Mike mentioned the Lutheran Home and the Jesus Cares opportunities that we have here in Minnesota. Unfortunately, we don't have some of the Bethesda homes close by, but our church is heavily involved with a ministry to those with disabilities. Arvid and I are both very active in that. We have approximately, well, actually 32, I think, is about what we have of those with disabilities who come off and on when they're able to our meetings, which are on a Thursday evening at 6:30, and it's just, you get so much out of it. It's not what we put into it. It's what they give to us. The unconditional love is just unbelievable. And I guess this is a good place to plug anything that people can do is many say that they don't want to be involved with those with disabilities because, well, I'm just not comfortable. I don't know what to say or act. You don't have to. They will make you feel so welcome. And it's, like I say, so rewarding. So if your churches have not started any programs for those with disabilities, encourage them, you know, be part of that leading group to start a group meeting where you can learn about Jesus, do crafts and singing, and just have a wonderful evening. So I encourage your listeners, please do this.
Yeah. If I could jump in here,
certainly,
Andy, on that point. Bethesda takes care of about 2,000 people in its group homes across the country. That's obviously not even a decimal point of the total number of people that need care. Now, Bethesda is a ministry. The saving message of salvation belongs to developmentally disabled, just like it belongs to all of us. That was given to all of us. And the encouragement, and Mike can jump in on this too, what we're trying to foster is congregations taking that role on, where they're, most of the people who have developed intellectual and developmental disabilities live in homes with parents or siblings, and they're part of every community in America. They're there, and congregations are uniquely suited to bring that saving message of salvation and also bringing them encouragement in the life that they live within that community. And for Bethesda to serve more people, it's probably not building another 300 group homes, which we are not able to do, but it certainly is having a program within 300 congregations of the LCMS. And I know that our new spiritual services director, Pastor Presnell, who just joined us, has that on his agenda, and I absolutely know that Mike has it on his agenda, and he can speak to that if you feel you wish to, Mike, because that's how we can bring that message to more people. We can't physically take care of all of the developmentally and intellectually challenged people in America.
Judy, do you have perhaps a story that really exemplifies why you are involved in the groups, for example, group homes or starting a group in a congregation that really, some stories from that help us understand and maybe paint a picture for us of why you do what you do?
I think probably the one story that really sticks in my mind is the one about, what's his name?
Tom.
Okay, Tom has been coming to our Jesus Cares meetings for a long, long time. Does not really, you don't know how much you're reaching him, and, he doesn't really speak. But we had the story about David and Goliath, and we act out these, or we have different ways of presenting these stories at their level. And we were doing the thing with the slingshot. All of a sudden, Tom stands up, and I couldn't believe this. He has, swirling it around and shooting his slingshot with the stone in it. And, everybody just kind of sat there in amazement. So you see these moments when you touch somebody.
Yeah, and Judy, add to that when you visited him at his group home.
Oh, yes. I was visiting at the group home, and they all like to greet you at the door. And I came in, and Tom took my hand and took me into the kitchen. And I've been there many times by their table, and he pointed to the picture of Jesus and his 12 disciples, on the Passover meal they were having or before Jesus was crucified. I tell you, you just don't know when this moment is going to touch them. It's just, wow, it's a real wow moment. Thank you, God, is all you can say.
Mike, as you're listening to Arvid and Judy share their stories and the about the work that they do and why they do it, do you have any comments about why they were chosen for this award?
I think it should be self-evident.
I think so.
These two are warriors in God's army, there's no doubt. And they are definitely generals at the front of the line fighting and serving people in a way that, in their own words, as Judy was describing, the reaction of Tom and the Arvid's background and seeing Bethesda years ago, and just the way that these two have touched not just our mission, but the Christian mission in a much broader way and enhancing the lives of people it's a testimony to their faith, their commitment to God, and literally this is so nice to be able to honor them with this kind of an award. I just can't tell you how happy we are.
Let's talk about the work that you, Arvid and Judy, that you've been doing. How important is it that we learn about intellectual and developmental disabilities? It maybe not before the first time that we serve, but that we learn along the way. How important is it that shape or that we learn in order to better serve? What are some of the things that you've learned along the way? Well, we can start with Judy and then go to Arvid.
Okay, I certainly learned to be compassionate, to be loving, to, just get down to their level. I mean, it's just so rewarding. But, you're asking me this question, but I have to put this in here. To the direct support people, I've learned so much from them talking with them. I mean, those people are the ones who all deserve this award. I mean, it's unbelievable how they interact, how they love these people so much, and what they don't do, what they do for them, and the sacrifices they make. And so, I would just like to say I'm sharing this with all of them because I've learned so much from them also.
Absolutely.
And I would absolutely second that. We come home from our group, our meetings at our local congregation where we have never all 32 people, but usually 20-some. They obviously, for various reasons, can't be there. We usually meet for a couple hours, maybe three. It would be at the longest.
Yeah.
We come home exhausted. And And we look at each other as we drive home, and this has almost become routine. Well, we got more than we gave again tonight. They gave us more love than we gave them.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked earlier about unconditional love. That's unconditional love. They love you for who you are, not for what you're going to give them. But then as you go forward from that, we always talk about, oftentimes talk about, could you do this all day long, every day for eight or sometimes a shift and a half, 12 hours? Could you do that? And I'm saying, I don't think I could do that. I don't know that I would have the energy to be that person. I had the privilege of sitting in our August meeting where we recognized certain employees from throughout the nation for their exemplary work, sitting next to a person at the banquet that we had for them. And I thought, and she was telling me what she does, and I thought, I couldn't do that. So the direct support professionals, and Mike referred to it earlier, they are the front line. They set the tone for how all the rest of this works. We got the fun part. I mean, we can kind of pick and choose to some extent. It's their work, their professional work, and they do it so well. And we really, I would just second what Judy said. This award belongs, next year we should award it to all the DSPs at Bethesda because they are the front line.
Go ahead, Judy.
And I'd like to add to this that with the direct support people, the support that our listeners, their congregations can give only relieves them a little bit. I mean, you know, they can come and sit there and enjoy. And we have found also that we are not just spreading the mission and the word about Jesus to the participants, also the caregivers. They are, you know, they're such genuine people that they also hear about Jesus too. So everybody gets involved in this, and we just encourage all of your listeners to check it out, see what, you know, because they will find this probably one of the most rewarding things they do.
I agree that the direct support professionals really are on the front line, and they, the career that that they are in is certainly a demanding career. Having opportunities in the past, my wife and I both, to work directly with individuals with developmental and intellectual disabilities. I know what you mean when you say you come home and you're exhausted. So those direct service professionals certainly have a demanding career, an exhausting career, but also a very rewarding one. But I think another thing that is so important to the work that they do is that it is teamwork. It takes partners like you and other families and congregations to care for individuals with these disabilities.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And now I'm going to double back to congregations. Every congregation in America, every LCMS congregation, every Christian congregation in America have people, first of all, who are intellectually and developmentally disabled. We may not know them within the congregation, but they're there. They're probably hidden from you, hidden from the congregation. Also, and more important, is just as important, is you have every congregation have people in the congregation who would love this work. They would love doing this work. They could just figure out how to get a foothold within a group to start that. And that's where Bethesda can be a tremendous asset, because we have a whole core of people within our religious life staff who are more than willing to go out and do that beginning work to get a group going. The one that we're involved with in our local congregation is totally run by volunteers, totally. Now, our pastor comes to every session because he loves doing it. But if he has a meeting or something that he can't attend, we take over. We can do the Bible story. We can do the lesson. We can do all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very much a lay volunteer organization. And what's its mission? Its mission is that we enhance the lives of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities through services that share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, you don't need a group home to do that. You got a congregation. You can do it in a congregation. And they are so underserved with that message of salvation. very underserved. And it's our job. Go and tell. That's what we're supposed to do. It doesn't say go and tell everybody except this group. No, everybody's included in that. And we want to expand that so that Bethesda is serving not the 2,000 people directly, but 20,000 people, 200,000 people. That's not too big a dream to dream.
That was my next question. How many people, what are some of the numbers on this? How many people in throughout the U.S. have intellectual or developmental disabilities that would benefit from services like Bethesda and you know, congregations caring for them, teaching the good news of Jesus, teaching the Bible lessons on a regular basis, those types of things? What are the numbers when it comes to individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities? Anybody have those statistics?
You know, I'm going to defer to my good friend Mike, because he knows those numbers. But I think I know what the number is, but I'm not. Mike, you can handle.
Well, absolutely. It's literally in the millions, Andy. There's millions of people out there with intellectual developmental disabilities, and when you start to consider people with autism and other types of disabilities, that number grows rather significantly. The types of people that we support in terms of residential services or providers like us of service, we literally only reach about 13% of that total population through the residential services. Like Arvid and Judy were saying, the opportunity to serve people differently, whether that's through church groups or through employment or through other ways of engaging people in the community, is really one of our goals and objectives as we do spread the good news, is to be able to reach that other 87% of those millions out there that just need the help that they need and they don't even know where to go for it. So there's literally millions of people out there in search of that.
So there certainly is a need for this kind of support. How can we as congregations get more involved? What's the first step that we should take as a congregation? Maybe just a couple of people in a congregation are listening today and want to take that next step. What's the next step, Mike?
First step is to go to your pastor and to talk with your pastor and the lay staff as well about what those opportunities look like. As you know, there's a very large reach of congregations, LCMS and Pan Lutheran across the United States, that we literally don't touch on a daily basis, which we did, but we don't. And so going to a pastor is the first step, to talk with them about their walk, how they have connected to an organization like us or other organizations, and to be able to tap into us. If one of the ways that I'd suggest our listening audience as well is to literally go out to our website to contact us directly, and we'd be more than happy to connect either an individual or a group or a Bible study or that congregation itself with our religious life team. We have people scattered across the U.S. who are doing great work on a daily basis with congregations and people that we support, and we'd be more than happy to connect with new congregations or even enhance relationships that we have with existing congregations in that regard. So just reach out to us as well, and we can make that happen.
Judy, what is your encouragement to those who think, oh, maybe I'd like to do this, but I'm not really sure. Do I have what it takes? Can I start a group in my congregation?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I was very, very reluctant to do this. I mean, I thought, I can't do this. I don't understand. And I'm not sure, someone in our congregation who, we weren't one of the original people who started this. We came in a few years after it had started. And they said, just come and sit and observe. Well, you're hooked after one time. I mean, you got all these participants who come up to you, and they want to hug you, and they, you know, who are you? And, you know, there's nothing to fear. God will help you through these things. You just pray that, can I be of benefit to them? And it's just, you know, go and observe. If you have a group home in your area or anything, start to participating in some connection with them. And that's the only way you can do it. Maybe Arvid has some other ideas.
I think, Judy, those are correct. And even if, you know, if you have a Bethesda group home in your community, then that's extremely easy to connect. But not every nation, not every state has a Bethesda group home. We're in 14 states. That means there's 36 states that we're not in. They have group homes. They may not be Bethesda group homes, but they have the same need. In fact, they have more of a spiritual need many times than a Bethesda home has, because Bethesda is served by spiritual staff. And just get involved. It can be a little intimidating, and every person that has an intellectual or developmental disability has a unique disability oftentimes. But I, being physically challenged since I was 12 years old and got through adolescence and marriage and raising a family and establishing a career, yeah, there are days when you feel like, oh, I wish I didn't have this, but it doesn't change it. You mm-hmm. got this, so you deal with it. But any help that you get that you can give to the folks is so important, because it particularly with intellectual disabilities is it shows your Christian love to them, and they recognize that, just like Tom, who took Judy by the hand and said and led her to the picture of Jesus. He didn't say a word because he doesn't communicate, but you get the connection right away. You're the Jesus lady. You're the person who tells me about Jesus. I mean, that really is a wow moment. And that can happen to anybody in our listening audience in any congregation in America. They're there. And if Bethesda can help, even if we don't have group homes in that state, we still will help. And we'd love to. So encouragement to the congregations, encouragement to the church. And all the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, and other Christian churches. Mike, we deal with and work with other Christian congregations also, do we not? Yes, mm-hmm. we do.
Well, thank you. Thank you all for your time today. BethesdaLutheranCommunities.org is the website. Arvid and Judy Schwartz, thanks for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mike Thurtle, President and CEO of Bethesda Lutheran Communities, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thanks, Sandy. Blessings on your day today.
Thank you.
Listen,
you as well.
Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand.